Well, good morning, everyone, and Merry Christmas. It's great to see you here today. My name is Adrian. We're going to spend a little bit of time now thinking about the significance of Jesus' birth. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. And this year we saw another birth, didn't we? Back in April, we saw the birth of little Prince Louis. William and Kate had their third child. They've got George and Charlotte, and now little Louis. He's the fifth in line to the throne. And it's very exciting, isn't it? And his birth was met with celebration and met with happiness. People were glad to see what was going on and find out about him, and they loved to see the pictures. Next year, sometime, Meghan and Harry will be having their little baby as well. And again, it's going to be all over the news, isn't it? All over the world. There'll be crowds, there'll be a buzz, there'll be, you know, kind of commemorative plates and stuff like that. People get excited over a royal birth. But in the end, it doesn't make any difference to our lives, does it? It feels nice, feels special, might make us happy for a brief glimmer, but it doesn't actually change anything for us. It doesn't actually change anything for our family, for our future, for what is going on in our lives. But the birth of Jesus Christ makes all the difference. The birth of Jesus Christ changes everything because Jesus is a real king who has real power and real authority. We have at Christmas the birth of a king who can protect us and provide for us in the worst of circumstances. We have a king who can guide us and comfort us in all of our lives. We have a king who at the same time commands us and rules us, because that's what kings are meant to do. Kings aren't just meant to be figureheads, and they look great in their kind of photographed on the cover of New Idea. Kings are meant to rule, and it is good to have a king. That's what we see in our passage today. That's why we celebrate Christmas. We have a king. We have a ruler, and he is glorious and good. We see in the birth of Jesus, the king, that in our passage today, it starts with an amazing promise from God. The angel Gabriel, a messenger from God, appears to Mary and tells her to rejoice. First thing about Christmas, rejoice, because you've been favored by God. You've been blessed by God. And at first, though, Mary doesn't rejoice. Verse 29 says, because she doesn't really understand what's happening, she's troubled. She's confused. In fact, she's afraid because she doesn't understand. If you don't understand who God is, then people can be troubled and confused and afraid and what is going on. But God speaks and explains himself. He speaks and he makes promises. He speaks and says, this is what's happening. Here's why you should have joy. Verse 30, the angel told her, don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. Jesus means God will save his people from their sins. And he will be great and be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end. You see, here is God's great promise of blessing for the future. The reason Mary should rejoice and never be afraid, the reason we should rejoice and never be afraid, is because of this child coming who will be king. God's promise to us, the thing that gives us joy, the thing that gives us hope and expectation and anticipation and something to live for, is this son born. Jesus is our hope because Jesus is our king. And you see, people realize Christmas is about hope and joy and peace because it's written all over the wrapping paper and we sing about it. But people don't realize that Christmas is only about those things because it's about Jesus, who brings hope and joy and peace. People didn't get together and think, let's have an annual celebration of hope and joy and peace. Oh, we might as well mention Jesus. No, people thought, let's have an annual celebration of Jesus' birth. His birth means hope and joy and peace. If you want to have those things but don't want to have Jesus, it doesn't make any sense. It's like saying, I want summer, but I don't want hot weather, sunlight, or cricket on television. It just goes together. or I want to go to the beach, but they don't want there to be any sand or any surf or any water. It doesn't work. I want to lose weight, but don't want to change how I eat or exercise, or like it goes together. The sad irony in our city is that so many people are desperate for these things. They're longing to find hope and joy and peace. They long for these things. They're desperate for these things. They want to celebrate these things, but they forget or they ignore the only one who can truly offer them these things, who is Jesus. It's like they want to have the birthday party, but not invite the one whose birthday it is. In the end, there is no hope and joy and peace without relationship with Jesus Christ, because that's how important he is and what he came to do. Gabriel's message to Mary shows us how special Jesus is. I mean, it's not every day that an angel comes and predicts the birth of a child. I'm not sure if that was your experience, but it doesn't happen very often. God sends an angel to Mary, you're going to have a child. And he takes the time to explain who this child will be and why it's so important. And in these verses, we're given four reasons this child is very special. Verse 32, he will be great. Do you know the original word for great there is literally the word mega, which is where we get the word mega from. It's quite clever that we've done that, in taking it from Greek to English, but megaphone, megaton, megawatt, the bad guy in the Transformers, Megatron, we know what mega means. Gabriel says to Mary, you're going to have a baby, this baby will be mega. 10 kilos, 20 pounds, a fat Jabba the Hutt whopper. No, that's not what the angel means. He will be great. He is a great one. Your baby is going to be powerful and mighty and glorious and amazing, and people are going to be worshiping him for eternity. He's mega. He is great. And what is it that makes him great? It's who he is. So secondly, the angel says he will be called Son of the Most High. I mean, that's why he's great, because this baby God promises Mary, this baby who's born at Christmas, is actually God's own son. Well, that's the whole point of Christmas, isn't it? That's the point of this message from the angel to Mary. It's the point of the virgin birth. This child comes from God. So here is God's promise and blessing to Mary. And here is God's promise and blessing to us. This baby is my son, God says. I am giving you my son. Not just any ordinary child. He's great because he's mine. But you see, it's not as if Jesus is like some weird, completely different life form. An alien life form who's implanted into Mary as a host. I mean, that would be a different take on the Bethlehem story, wouldn't it? That there's this scene, there's this quiet little stable at night, there's a star in the sky, and there's some animals watching on, and this creature bursts out of Mary's stomach. It's not what happens. Because look at the very next line, the third thing that makes this baby special. Verse 32, the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. So this baby is God's son, and yet at the same time, he is the son of David. He's the descendant of great King David, the king who single-handedly defeated Goliath when he was a shepherd boy, the king who ruled Israel with justice and righteousness. That great king, his descendant, this baby is born, because Jesus is divine, the Son of God, and at the same time, Jesus is human, born in the line of David. He will inherit the throne of King David, and he will inherit the throne of God. He's going to shepherd God's people the way David did, and he will powerfully save God's people the way God does. Both of those thrones are his forever. The throne of his heavenly father, the throne of his earthly father David, the throne of his heavenly father God belong to this child. And so the fourth thing that makes him special, verse 33 says, he will reign forever. And his kingdom will have no end. And we saw that in the kids spot, didn't we? That so many good things in life, so many good things in Christmas come to an end. The holidays come to an end, the presents and the meals. But even more significantly in our lives, we've seen relationships and good times and health and even lives. Nothing lasts forever, but here is something that will last for eternity, that will continue forever. Jesus has come to be our King, and he's come to be our King for eternity. Jesus is the only one we need to rule and guard and guide our lives forever. He's come to bring in God's perfect kingdom that will have no end. And he brings a kingdom that gathers in the lost ones, that gathers in the broken ones. He says to the suffering ones and the guilty ones and sinners, come and belong to my kingdom forever. But how does he do that? Well, that's Mary's question, isn't it? In verse 34, Mary asked the angel, how can this be? How can God make these promises? How can this child even come, since I have not had sexual relations with a man? The angel replied to her, the Holy Spirit of God will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. You see, Christmas isn't just about this glimmer, this little kind of maybe slight sparkle of hope and peace and joy that we can receive from Jesus in the midst of life that's kind of dark. There's this little glimmer. No, Christmas is the huge, breathtaking, overwhelming power of God to achieve these amazing things. See, Christmas is the demonstration of God's love and his generosity and concern for us. Christmas is the demonstration of God's humility. He's willing to go so low as to be born as a little baby in the middle of nowhere and laid in a manger, an animal food bucket. That's humility and love and compassion, isn't it? But Christmas also demonstrates God's infinite power and his strength and his might. He can do anything. This is how powerful God is. You see it in Christmas, because how can this be? Verse 37 tells us, nothing is impossible for God. Christmas shows us God can do the impossible. Mary can have a baby even when she's a virgin. God can do the impossible. He's powerful. He can do anything. God can come into the world that he had made. The powerful creator can become part of his creation in the birth of Jesus. Joined to us, one of us, God can do the impossible. And sinners can be loved and forgiven. God can even achieve that, even when justice demands that we be punished for doing the wrong thing. Even though God's holiness requires that he stand apart from sin and evil, Christmas shows God can do the impossible, and sinners can be forgiven, and rebels can be reconciled. The dead can come to life. The lost can be saved and found forever. Nothing is impossible for God. Not virgin births, not walking on water, not raising the dead, not even keeping his promise to save you and love you, even from death and judgment. And that changes everything. As you face impossible things in your life, as you try to figure out what life is about, as you face suffering and pain that is too heavy for you to bear, as you're confronted inevitably by death, the royal family can't help you because they're in the same situation as you. But God has sent us a king who makes all the difference in the world. God has sent us a king who fixes our relationship with God. He's the king who can do what we cannot do. He's the king who does the impossible. He makes us loved by God. He washes us clean. He saves us and gives us eternal life. And that is the king, King Jesus, who will reign forever. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the amazing gift you've given us in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our King. Father, please help us to come under his rule and under his care, to trust in him, And Father, this Christmas, please remind us of your power to do the impossible. Thank you for saving us. Please help us to share this love and forgiveness with others. And we get to do this for eternity. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.